Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with God. Here we have an interesting illustration, if you will, of the power of God to transform and transfigure, of the power of God to fill with life and power each one of us. It seems as though the story of Moses and the story from the gospel lesson today is a little bit removed from our experience. After all, we don't go up mountainsides to speak with God, and we don't normally see people being transformed or transfigured. And we do tend, however, to think of ourselves as being unworthy or incapable or unwilling to stand and to view the presence of God in our midst. And that is what we have here today. We have here today in Exodus, we have here today in Luke's gospel, an illustration of the real presence, the real power, the life-transforming love and grace of Jesus in our midst. Of Jesus in our midst here in the story from Exodus, the power of God, the commandment of God, the real presence of God amongst the Israelites. We often forget that it was God who gave those Ten Commandments to Moses. It was God who spoke with Moses. It was God who led them through the wilderness. It was God who led them through the Red Sea. It was God in His manifestation of His presence in the pillar of fire by night and by the smoke cloud by day. In that manifestation of God's presence, God was with His people. And when God is with His people, His people cannot help but be changed, be transformed, be transfigured. And that is what we see in Moses. His face was glowing, and the people were frightened to see the wonderful countenance, the glory of God reflecting off of Moses, not coming from anything that was part of Moses by nature, but reflecting off of Moses in a transformation that God was working within Moses. The glory and the light and the love and the power and the grace of God was literally reflecting continually off of Moses. I'm reminded of some of those glow-in-the-dark posters that my brother used to have. They used to frighten me dearly. He had these really scary posters of Dracula and Frankenstein and the mummy and all, and they would be on his wall. And after you'd had the lights on all day and the sun shining in, the lights on at night, when you turn the light out in his room, they'd jump out of the wall at you and keep glowing for a long time until finally they would start to dim and dim until you could see them no more except in your mind. They glowed not because of any special quality of their own, although they were a special design, but by themselves they would never glow until light is applied to the material on that poster. And when the light was applied to that material, it held in some of that energy. And the light was turned out, it continued to glow for a period of time. And in some respects, that's kind of like what happened to Moses. He fluoresced, if you will, with the glory of the presence of God. And it continued to remain with him even when he left God's presence. And because the people were so frightened of this sight, Moses put a veil over his face, a veil to keep from frightening the people. And that frequently is the position we are in today. It's a practice that the Jews still have to this day. The practice of when engaged in any special, especially the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, where they believe that God's presence is manifested in the reading of this ancient Hebrew text. The Hebrew people cover their eyes. In a worship service, it's fascinating to watch. They cover their eyes, and then as they say the words or sing them, they start to move. As they say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Achad." They say it sort of as a prayer, as we say the Lord's Prayer, as a prayer reminding them that God, the Lord of Israel, the Lord is one, is truly in their midst. And they know, my friends, how important it is for them to cover their eyes in respect, knowing they are in the presence of God. And sometimes we need to remember that too. Frequently we in this culture today want to think that we don't want anything between us and God. And yet if we were truly, fully exposed to the power and majesty of God, unshielded by God's grace, we would be blown to smithereens. That just a little bit of that grace comes through and literally backlights Jesus like a stained glass window. And that's what we see here in the mountaintop experience, where Peter, James, and John kind of falling asleep, looking and watching, and they see Jesus speaking with Moses there on the mountaintop, and he is literally backlit, if you will, by the power and glory and majesty of God spilling through him like a stained glass window. He was glowing with the power of God. As Moses experienced on the mountaintop, speaking with God, he would come down to the people, he would be glowing with that presence. So Jesus, on that mountaintop where he was transfigured, Peter, James, and John got to get a glimpse of that power of God glowing through Jesus to them. I use that as the image today. Because if it were not for the shield, if you will, if it were not for the veil, if it were not for the filter of the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God in Jesus Christ, the glory, the majesty, the power, the righteousness of God would literally blow us away, would disintegrate us, would wipe us out. Why? Because God is so wonderfully perfect. God is so wonderfully glorious. God is so wonderfully powerful, so wonderfully majestic, that we in our sinfulness cannot stand, cannot survive, cannot exist in the unshielded, unfiltered by grace glory of God. So Jesus does, in one respect for us, what a window shade does. When we come into the presence of God, Jesus protects us from what would be truly disastrous if in our sinful bodies we were to come to the presence of God. He would blow us away. We could not survive. We would be wiped out. Jesus does something else. He also communicates to us, just as Moses had communicated to him the glory of God, and it reflected off of his body and literally had a transforming presence on his body, so that he communicated to the Israelite people in a way that frightened them the glory of God. So also Jesus communicates to us, as he did there on the mountain, as he does to us every day through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus communicates to us the glory of God in a way that we can receive and in a way that can transform us so that we too become like Moses, a glowing presence of the love and power and majesty of God. That's what sanctification is all about, my friends. In the Methodist Church, we like to speak extensively about God's prevenient grace, which meets us wherever we are, without expecting a change, and gives us the grace that we need to turn to God and to say yes. And when we say yes to God's love, to God's grace, God piles on more grace, God's justifying grace, which wipes out the penalty of sin, which declares us not guilty of sin, and enables us then to step forward in faith, exercising faith, saying yes to God, and moving forward, following God's will, obeying God's commandments, becoming more and more the people of God. And when we do that, God then piles on more grace, called sanctifying grace, which moves into us and takes a hold of us and takes that declaration of not guilty, which was imputed to us or declared for us in justifying grace, and so transforms us that over time, that identity of righteousness, of God's love and God's power and presence, of God's glory that glows and shines forth, becomes over time more and more part of us. And so we not only become not guilty by divine fiat, but we actually start to discover that by God's grace, we are more and more and more and more and more like that glory of God. And when that happens, we reflect more and more purely and more clearly that grace of God. Now I ask you, have you ever tried to look in a mirror that is very old or very dirty? It can be hard. You can see your reflection, but you sometimes have to move around when you're trying to brush your hair. I have a mirror that probably needs to be resilvered, and it's just absolutely terrible. And you can't really see yourself, your reflection in that mirror. And you have to move around as you're trying to brush your hair to make sure that you can see each part as you're brushing it, because the mirror is so horribly dirty, so horribly messy, that you cannot see your reflection in it. But if an expert were to go into it and clean it and repair it and resilver it, it would become a wonderful mirror that you could look in easily and see your reflection and brush your hair. That's what God's grace does for us. When we first enter the kingdom of God, we are like a dirty, damaged mirror, incapable of perfectly or completely or even adequately reflecting the love and the power and the grace of God. But over time, God's grace moves into us and repairs us so that we can more and more perfectly, more and more completely, more and more acceptably reflect God's love and God's grace for those whom we meet. And that's what Transfiguration Sunday is all about. The sanctifying, glorifying, transforming love and presence of God, which because of Jesus, acting as a filter, does not blow us away, but rather moves into us to transform, to heal, to correct, and to deliver us, to clean us, if you will, so that we may then reflect that love, that glory, that grace to everyone whom we meet. Transfiguration Sunday reminds us that as we get ready to enter into the season of Lent, a season of time, a season of preparation for remembering that we are the reason Jesus died, as we get ready to enter into this time of preparation, this season of Lent, Transfiguration Sunday calls us to remember that no matter what we do in this season, we do it knowing that God's presence is there, God's grace is there to transform us, to work on and through us as we move through this season. So that when we approach Good Friday and we look on the cross and when we nail in the nail and experience again our responsibility for the death of Jesus, we will know that it is not by our own power that we can change. It is not by our own power that we can be forgiven. It is not by our own power that we forgive others, but by the grace and the power and the majesty of God, which goes forth through Jesus into our lives to transform us so that we may reflect His love to others. That's why we meet today, to hear these scriptures proclaimed. That's why we meet every Sunday, to sing hymns, to receive the sacraments of Holy Communion and baptism, to read the scriptures and to pray and to fellowship together and to study the Bible and to study theology. We meet together as a community of faith every week to be worked on by God so that we may more accurately, more completely, more graciously reflect the love and the grace of God to those whom we meet. As we go forth from this service today, knowing that God's presence is with us, I leave you with this story. I read it in the paper just the other week. The story about a little girl who, when asked about her belief in God, said, "I believe that God is everywhere and that He has angels who are with me everywhere, but you can't see them because they're invisible." She was right. God is everywhere. And He has angels there to help us. And most of them are invisible. But some of them aren't. Some of them are seated next to you in your pews. And I invite you to become one of those angels in this Lenten season, in this season of preparation for the coming death and resurrection of Jesus. I invite you to become one of those angels and allow God to so transform your life, so resilver your life, that you can reflect the glory and the grace of God to all whom you meet. Don't be afraid of that glory as He shines forth to you. Jesus is filtering it with His love and His wonderful grace. Don't be afraid of God's glory, but allow it to grab you and transform you into the wonderful light and expression of God's love that others need to see, so that they too can know how much God loves them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.